I sure miss sports, and not just sports, but the people that bring us sports, the people that talk about sports. And so I thought this would be a great time to bring a couple of my favorite sports guys and yours as well on the air with us. Doc Emmerich is joining us right now. Doc, good morning.
Good morning, and I've certainly missed not hearing Dennis, and I'm curious what's been going on with him, too. Is he there?
He is. Good morning, Dennis Stuckey.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you today?
Hi, good. Nice to hear your voice, sir.
I'm going to step back and let you guys talk a little bit, because I want to hear what life has been like without sports for sportscasters.
Well, I usually listen to Dennis when I'm in town, and I'm seriously in town now for a little while, and haven't heard you lately because I know up until that time you were doing lots of duty with high schools and also following the Prowlers and all of that, and I can only imagine the loss of not being able to put those scores on the air because there weren't any games to report. There was a on Saturdays. I hate to be a heretic, Paul, but I don't follow hunting and fishing that much to have the Saturday morning show on. So I listen to a station in Chicago, WGN, because they have a guy that I know, Lou Manfredini, that does a home improvement show. And on that show, there was they have the news and sports, and the sports guy Joe Brand had the same problem that Dennis did on the first Saturday after all the leagues shut down. And so, because the schools in Chicago met on Friday for the last time, he said, any physical education teachers that had any classes yesterday in which there were competitions, send me in your scores. And the last score that I got, that I heard of any scholastic competition was of a middle school in Chicago. It was floor soccer, and the Blues beat the Yellows 9-3. So I'm sure that there's a loss in not being able to do that, but are you well?
I'm very well. I'm bored out of my mind. And not just because there isn't any sports, but my wife won't let me do anything.
Well, good for her. She knows the best. I mean, she's very responsible.
I am an at-risk person, so anytime I want to go outside, you can't wander too far from that. I'm kind of like a little kid right now. But what I miss the most about this, guys, is the what could have been.
Oh, yeah.
Because of where we're at, professionally, do we really miss the Wings and the Pistons right now? And were we really that excited about the Tiger season getting started? Not all that much. But high school-wise, we were a day away from the boys' district finals. So I was really looking forward to that. I was going to do the Northern Dakota game the day before they canceled everything. And then the other part of it was the Prowlers were really good. They were really stacking up their team. They'd gotten all of their call-ups back. I mean, they were going to have a problem of who was going to play and who was going to have to sit out, because they were going to have a really strong team. It was going to be, I think, the best playoffs ever in the Federal Hockey League. There were up to four teams that could have won the championship, and Port Huron was one of them. And I would have really liked to see the way that would have played out. It was stacking up that we would have played Danville in the first round and Carolina in the West final. And over in the East, it would have been Danville and Elmira. And then the two winners would have staggered out of that and played in the finals. And it would have been a great finals no matter who got there. And the Prowlers had as good a chance as anybody to get there. And it all happened, too, for a weekend that we had been talking about for several weeks, when they were going to play Carolina three straight games at McMoran Arena, and it didn't happen. And that was the big letdown for me. And the fact that there won't be a resolution to this season is the big letdown for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. All three of those, the Southern Pro and the Federal and also the ECHL, just totally canceled their seasons. We only have two left. The American League has said they won't play until the earliest May 1st, and that could go even further. And The reason for that is they have, there are interlocking contracts between American League players and NHL players, and the NHL has said, we're honoring at least the 60 days of the CBC. And there have been hints out of the NHL office that that they might try, if there is any hint that the smoke is clearing, they might try a 15-day training camp 45 days into the 60-day ban. But that is if there is any kind of hint of a lift, which there is not right now. There have been also other statements made the latter part of this past week by NHL officials that, above all, they wanted to preserve the 2021 season in its entirety, and that would be the season that would begin in early October. And that would also tell you that as much as they would love to have a playoff, that they would not do it at the risk of the start of the 2021 season, because the league is very bright when it comes to doing stoppages, because they've had one total league cancellation and two half seasons because of lockouts. Those have been easy to at least wait through because reasonable men are on both sides of the table. But this, as is obvious, is difficult to predict, but they have a number of scenarios depending upon when a green light would occur. And if none comes into the latter part of the summer, then obviously they have said that, above all, we would like to have the integrity of a full season beginning in October. So there are just a lot of things that make this entire thing unpredictable. I was very happy for one of our announcers yesterday, and I'm not sure if you heard the story of John Forslund, one of our NBC broadcasters, who also, as Dennis mentioned, Carolina, the franchise in Winston-Salem in the Federal League. There's a very proud franchise in the NHL, that, and it's related to Detroit. John came in to Detroit 2 weeks ago today to broadcast a game, and it was the last game the Red Wings played between Carolina and Detroit. And after the game, they flew to New Jersey for what was to be a game on Thursday, the 12th, between the Hurricanes and the Devils. Well, that game was canceled on the 11th, and as they got on the bus in Newark to go to the airport to charter back to Raleigh because the season had been put on hold, the traveling secretary came to the back of the bus and said, John, you may not be able to fly back with us. And he said, oh, why? He said, well, we got a phone call from the hotel in Detroit, and the room that you had in Detroit was occupied by Rudy Gobert of the Utah Jazz the night before.
Oh, boy.
And we're talking to our team doctors now about whether it's safe for you to travel with us back to Raleigh. They determined that it was okay as long as he sat in the first class section of the charter, and everybody else, including the general manager and all the coaches, went as far to the back of the plane as they could. So they all got back to Raleigh. John's wife, Natalie, of 33 years, was notified that John was in immediate quarantine, and for her own sake, he should be in the separate part of the house. So John has spent the last 2 weeks in the basement of the house. Like a warden in a prison, she has brought the meals to him at the top of the stairs and left them there. In the meantime, his daughter and son are both in college. College is stopped at Clemson and Lebanon Valley near Hershey for the two kids. They come home. One of them stays with, the daughter stays with a girlfriend nearby. Yesterday was Independence Day, revisited. They all got reunited. He came up the stairs out of the basement and the quarantine was lifted. But what a strange set of circumstances.
Very strange.
But you still have to admire the hotel in Detroit for saying, hey, we need to let you know that this went on and one of your people may be in jeopardy. So good for them, and good for the Hurricanes for reacting the way they did after the information came from Detroit. But John, just I texted him yesterday morning. He was a very happy guy, but he also has a great sense of humor, and he's been doing interviews off and on the last 2 weeks. So I'm sorry the story was long, but it was one of those stories that came out of all of this,
yeah.
And it had a Detroit connection.
That's amazing. Doc, what have you been doing to bide your time? Are you obviously there's a lot of frustration among a lot of people that they can't do what they ordinarily would be doing. How about you? How are you handling all this?
Well, almost every network that does hockey and actually does any sport, I just watched Mark Fidrich pitch against the Yankees in 1976 on the MLB Network.
Yeah.
We're all doing this. This is Hockey Week in America revisited on NBC. We're going to show a lot of outdoor games, game sevens in the playoffs on NBCSN all week long. So we're all doing these sorts of things. Coincidentally, I started work with Kevin Allen a year ago on an autobiographical book. Because it's autobiographical, Port Huron will have significant space in it. The deadline to have this published in the fall is the end of this month. And so there's been a lot of time spent during this downtime the last 2 weeks in getting the final work done on it. And so that has occupied a lot of my time. We've pretty much stayed in. Going out to do the basics of gasoline and purchase of groceries and so forth. And far be it from me to tell people how to behave, but I guess we've just tried to compliment grocery workers and drive-through people. And whenever we pick up something at a restaurant that normally has been converted now to picking it up at the door, we try to always take care of the wait staff that normally would be waiting on tables and getting gratuities for it. Now they're just coming to the door and handing it over, and we're trying to remember that they base their livelihood on tips, and so we try to help them out that way too. And all of these things I know you've been mentioning and other people have on your show. So we're living a life that most other people are, just trying to stay careful through all of this. But the main thing in my life now, the other thing too is my 95-year-old stepmom, of course, loves watching Eddie Olczyk and likes the fact that he likes the horses and all these other things. And so because of macular degeneration, she's not able to read his book. But she is a colon cancer survivor like he is, and dropped the hint that wanted to know whether there was an audio version, and there's not. So I'm up to the middle part of chapter 14, where he's about to get fired in Pittsburgh as the coach. That was where I finished last night, so I'm emailing pieces of the book that I read to her.
Oh. I feel like we might have... Hang on a second here.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah.
Did we lose Dennis?
Oh, we lost them both there. Hit the wrong button. Oh, that's too bad. Guys, if you can call back in, I'd sure love to finish our conversation. There we go. There's Doc calling back in. And I'm not sure what happened to Dennis. I accidentally dumped both lines.
Oh, that's all right.
Yeah,
need to have Dennis talk some more because I went kind of long on that.
No, that's all right. I'll wait for him to call back in. So you're reading the book to her over the phone? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful.
What I do is I make an audio file and then email it to her. So there are like 10 to 15 minutes for a half chapter, and I do that in stretches and then send it to her. And so she listens to it on her computer.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And Eddie gave me permission to do that because there's no audio version of his book yet.
That's really nice. I can't wait for your book to come out. That's exciting as well. We do have Dennis back on here.
Oh, good.
So, Dennis,
I want to hear more from Dennis. I've dominated the time here, and I'm sorry.
Dennis, are you watching any of those classic games? I mean, that's basically, it's all reruns right now. Are you revisiting any favorite old games?
Well, we have one NHL channel, so I did get to watch the 83 finals, the Islanders and the Edmonton Oilers, and it was interesting because I remember them as a kid, but what I had kind of let slip away from me is every third name mentioned in the broadcast is somebody who's now in the NHL Hall of Fame for either of the two teams. I had also forgotten that the first time around, the Islanders swept them. For some reason, I didn't remember the series being that short, but it was. But Edmonton got him the next year. The other thing that I caught the other night was from Australia, some Australian rules football.
Wow.
I don't completely understand the rules, but they were playing the games live in empty stadiums, which was a unique way to see a game played with absolutely no reaction whatsoever to what was happening on the field except the two broadcasters.
You know, that was something that they had talked about with certainly the NCAA and other sports too early on, was, well, maybe we'll still have the games, but with no audience. Doc, was that something that the NHL had considered at some point?
I'm sure that they had. I'm not privy to plans B, C, D, and E, but I'm sure they have them, because these are very smart people when it comes to taking care of the 31 owners. And it is at playoff time that the owners make their money. Most of them do not make a profit during the season, but they do at playoff time, and only 16 get in. And that is the reason that there is a curiosity about the playoffs, because if they were played in empty stadiums, the main source of income for the owners at playoff time is through the sale of tickets. That's why the prices are doubled or tripled at playoff time. And to play those in empty stadiums, that would be a dicey thing for the owners to consider, because the rights fees for television have already been paid long ago. So it would be a really difficult thing for the owners to consider. But for the sake of the sport, and for the fan interest in the sport, and for the ancillary things like board advertising, and for the on-ice advertising, they could generate some income from that.
Mm-hmm.
The fans would love to see playoff games, even if there weren't fans in the stands. But it would be an interesting decision on the part of the teams that were in, the men who own them, because they would be sacrificing a lot of profit. I should mention, too, very quickly, that the players are being paid. They will be paid through the end of the regular season as scheduled, but because there's a profit sharing aspect to it, and there's also escrow, chances are much of that money would be paid back.
Yeah, I think that's when we realized that this situation was serious, because of the amount of money involved in all sports, when the NBA and then the NHL and then the NCAA all suspended the season, and Major League Baseball moved the date of the start of the season back. I think that's when, at least for me, I said, whoa, this thing is real, this thing is serious, and this is happening.
Yeah, the commissioner estimated that if there was no hockey played until next season, that it would cost the league and its teams about $1 billion.
Oh, that's amazing. Just amazing. Well, guys, hang in there. So good to hear your voices. I really appreciate you joining us. We'll do this again at some point. I know that it's not been easy, but I know that you're finding things to fill your time. And until sports comes back, we'll just have to make do with reruns, I guess.
Dennis, it's great hearing you. Listen to Katie now.
I have to. She's the boss.
All right, guys. Hey, hang in there.
Thank you,
well.
Paul.
Stay safe.
Thanks
and we'll
for all
talk
you're
again.
Doing for the community, Paul.
Happy to be here and able to do it, guys. Thanks so much. Take care.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
So